Hello, everybody. Thanks for downloading the show. I appreciate it. I hope you enjoy it. It's a really, really good show. We had a lot of fun. Before we begin, I want to plug some stuff. On Saturday, March 31st, we'll be doing You, Me, Them, Everybody Presents This Is a Game Show at the Artisphere in Arlington. We had a show at the Artisphere last October, and it was a blast. So rather than just do a yet another talk show, we're going to do a game show. Yes, there will be prizes, there will be guests, there will be music, it will be quite fun. Ian Walters, the guy that used to play in the live show, will be the house band for the evening. The Sweater Set, a delightful duo from Washington, D.C., will be playing in the middle. We have amazing guests, we have amazing giveaways. We have gift certificates from Scout Mob, gift certificates from Miss Pixies, tickets to give away from BYT, some posters, a ton of stuff. Check it out. Please come to that show. It's on our events page. You could read more about it. At the last few shows, we've been doing some awesome, awesome giveaways. That's another reason for you to come to the show. This show, we featured a giveaway from the Arlington Draft House. We gave away some tickets to see the very, very funny Nick Thune. For more about the Arlington Draft House, just go to the ad on this page, on the page thing that you're looking at, you know, the show description. There are links to the Arlington Draft House and the DC Improv, another fantastic comedy club. We gave away some tickets for Mr. Todd Glass, one of the nation's finest treasures that we all have. You don't have to be from America to enjoy Todd Glass. I think he crosses boundaries. I want to thank the Arlington Draft House. I want to thank the DC Improv. Both of those great comedy clubs can be found in the show description. So that's it. Those are the three things I wanted to say before the show starts. Arlington Draft House, thank you. DC Improv, thank you. Saturday, March 31st at the Artisphere, this is a game show. Without further ado, here's You, Me, Them, Everybody featuring Tom Bridge from We Love DC, Jen Tisdale, and Gordon Withers. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, sausage party. Welcome to You, Me, Them, Everybody. My name is Brandon Weatherby. You're in the Wonderland Ballroom, or you're somewhere else listening to this. I don't know your life. That's fine. Don't tell me where you're listening to that either. I don't want to know. I'm assuming it's an office, but it could be really sad. I don't want to know. It's a podcast. We're doing a podcast. Yeah. I write this column, right? I write this column for Brady Shunk Things, and I have a lot of fun doing it. And last week, I wrote about Dave Grohl for the upteenth time. I wrote about Dave Grohl and how he's like a really positive guy, and I want to be a positive guy. Like, I don't want to be that guy who gets jealous or angry at friends when they get into a festival or something like that. And I'm not that. Why are you laughing at that part? That's not funny. That's just true. I got mad at friends like years ago that would get into like Bridgetown Comedy Festivals in like 2 weeks, right? So I would like 2 years ago I'd be like, why is that guy in that festival? He's not funny. But I was just not funny. So that's all that really is. And like, same with music festivals. Like, why are these bands getting these gigs? Well, because they work really hard at it. Who cares if they're actually good? It's promotion. We all have different tastes. It doesn't fucking matter. Dave Grohl wouldn't care. He's rich. That's why. He's fucking happy. He's so happy. He's smiling all the time, writing about rope. That doesn't make sense. His lyrics are nonsensical. Who cares? It doesn't even matter if you like his music. Dave Grohl is an awesome dude. And then one half of Sausage Party was like, did you know he performed with Chris Brown at the Grammys? I was like, no. He's like, you mentioned it three times in the article. I was like, I don't actually watch any of it. I watch Downton Abbey like a man. Fucking Maggie Smith's talking to a bunch of losers about how she's badass. That's awesome. That's what I want to watch. I like the idea of Dave Grohl, not the reality of Dave Grohl. You're missing the point. But I wrote this whole piece like advocating the lifestyle of Dave Grohl, not realizing that he shared a stage by choice internationally with a guy that's like really good at dancing, punching ladies, and driving all at the same time. And that's not cool. That's the opposite of cool, especially when you wear a Slayer shirt. Dave Grohl was wearing a Slayer shirt at the Grammys. He performed with Paul McCartney in a Slayer shirt, which on paper is like, oh, that's badass. But in reality, it's like, none of you can solo. Stop it. This is annoying. Why? Oh, I'm going to bring on Bruce Springsteen, that guy we all know from his great soloing. Not his jean jackets and bullshit attempt to appeal to the lower class. Not that part. No. He's like, we're friends with everybody. And that really angered me because, like, Nirvana is and will always be that band to me that, like, changed everything. Like, Nirvana, in a way, is the reason why I'm talking to you in a bar
and not an athlete. I was good at, it's true. I was the starting quarterback going into high school, and then I bought In Utero, and I quit all sports because girls exist. And, like, I was, thank you, preaching to the choir. And I was, like, really proud of myself for, like, 10 years, from, like, 14 to 24. I was like, I made the right decision. I did not make the right decision, ladies and gentlemen. I thought that there was this big divide between sport and art, and that's stupid. Kid at home listening to this, I'm assuming you're a kid. Don't tell me if you're a kid at home. Just, you're all 14 and in Idaho to me. Not playing to the room right now, and I apologize. You can be a sports fan and be an artsy guy. For example, there's this White Sox pitcher. He used to be a starter. You'll like this one, actually. Black Jack McDowell is his name. Black Jack McDowell was a starting pitcher for the White Sox in 1993, the year of the strike. The Sox had the best record going, and they obviously would have won the World Series. They had the big hurt because steroids work. It was awesome, awesome season. That guy also had a really shitty blues band, proving to me you can do both. I mean, one's going to be good and one's going to be awful, but you could still do both. You don't have to choose. And I associated that with, like, Dave Grohl. I've, like, married in my mind, like, you can be a cool rock and roll guy and perform with everybody. You shouldn't perform with everybody, especially wearing the Slayer shirt. Back to Slayer. Slayer is a great band for, like, three reasons. One, they're fucking tight in terms of musicianship. You can't hear better metal consistently over 25 years. They do not have diminishing returns, which is quite rare in all forms of music. My favorite Slayer record came out in 2001. That is not their heyday. It's called God Hates Us All. The song is Disciple. That is my favorite song on that record. And God does hate us all, and here's how I know that. Slayer sings about hatred. Chris Brown lip syncs about love. One band doesn't beat the shit out of people. Which band do you think that is? That's right, it's Slayer. The name of the band means murder. Doesn't murder or beat the shit out of people while driving. Back to Chris Brown really quickly. Do you guys know this? You've seen the photo of Chris Brown being awesome, right? Like that photo that made him go away for 6 months and then dye his hair and lose a fucking Doublemint endorsement and then get it all back and everything's forgiven and he smashed out the Good Morning America windows because somebody asked a mean question and glass shattered onto New York streets from 30 floors up. That's safe. That's the difference. And, like, what should Dave Grohl have done? Like, you kind of like, I've gone this far. I can't, like, I'm going to lose people jobs if we don't play this show. Well, here's something he could have done. Said anything. That's one thing he could have done. He could have written on his guitar, Rihanna. No, I'm just, hear me out. And then on his T-shirt, it could say Chris Brown. And then at the end of the performance, smash the shit out of the guitar. And if people are like, did you do that as a political statement? You could say, no, I was honoring my very good friend, Kurt Cobain. Why are you saying, oh, he swallowed a bullet? Once you swallow bullets, you don't get to defend yourself anymore. Especially on podcasts, because that technology did not exist in 1994. Or they could have done something silently, like Jarvis Cocker did. In 1996, at the Brit Awards, Michael Jackson was performing. This is the heyday of fucking kids and being really good at dancing. Like someone else that's really good at dancing. Jarvis Cocker, rather than say anything, just ran in front of every single camera he could find for 40 seconds and just went like this. He shimmied his hips and then ran to the next one and shimmied his hips. And that's it. That's all he did. And it pissed people off. And that's brilliant. And that's what we should be doing. And then I was so proud of myself once I like hit send in the article and people read it and I got positive responses like, oh, I'm fucking making a difference. I'm just like CM Punk, who's a wrestler, who's a current WWE champion, and I'm a big fan of wrestling. This is not a joke. He made like 130 seconds. He made a 90-second clip of himself just saying, like, I will fight you, Chris Brown. I will win. I'm awesome. You're a piece of shit. And I was like, yeah, that's how it should be done. I'm getting ready for the show, and I'm listening to music, and this awesome girl group comes on. The Ronettes come on. I was like, wow, I still love the Ronettes. This is why this music will always be good to me. What else happened with the Ronettes? Who produced this record? Mr. Phil Spector did. He murdered a lady with a gun. to her face. Just cause. Really, that was the reason. Just cause. But I have no qualms with listening to Phil Spector, which makes me one of two things, a hypocrite or a racist. It's probably both. Here's why. In my stupid skull, I think domestic abuse is worse than murder. That does not equate at all. Even in like old school biblical terms, that is not eye for an eye. That's like two bruised eyes versus no skull because you shot her in the face because he did that. But I'm okay with that because I'm stupid. And then I was thinking like, am I racist? It's like, no, I still hate John Lennon and he beat women too. It's not racism. Here's what it is. I don't like people that are famous for dancing and lip singing. I don't get it. And really, all this Chris Brown thing was highlight to me how much I hate dancing. I have yet to, this is true, I have yet to meet anyone that could explain to me why anyone that could do a thing with the feet and nothing else is popular. I don't understand that aspect of pop culture and I never will. And I shouldn't be okay with that. I should figure it out and be a better human being. But instead, I'll just fucking drink more and yell at Dave Grohl about wearing a Slayer shirt because God does hate us all. So the one thing I'm trying to get out there to the universe... Oh, God, that sounds bullshit. There's nothing wrong with liking dance music. It's great. But the big part of that is music. And there's nothing wrong with liking dance because it's just dance. But when you combine the two and then you beat the shit out of a lady, I really don't get it. So if any of you could explain to me why this doesn't make sense to me, please try. This is not a joke. I want to learn. I love Gene Kelly. Like, he's cool, but he's not famous for just dancing. He had talent. Why do I sound like Archie Bunker all of a sudden? Oh, I know. I'm racist, everybody. That's the thing. We have a great show tonight. I want to end every monologue with I'm racist, by the way. We got Tom from We Love DC. We got Jen Tisdale. We got music from Gordon. Sausage Team? Sausage Makers? What is it? Sausage Party? Sausage Party, take it away! Hey everybody, thanks for listening to the show. I really appreciate it. I'm butting in to let you know that I write a weekly column for this website called Brightest Young Things. The name of the column is called Behind the Desk, and it's pretty much whatever is applicable to this talk show or talk shows in general, things that I find fascinating. It goes up once a week at brightestyoungthings.com, and you can find every column at youmethemeverybody.com. So if you haven't been to the website in a while, that's an excuse to go. Once again, it's called Behind the Desk. It's a weekly column I write, and I'd really appreciate it if you gave it a glance. Thanks for listening, and back to the show. They usually play 8 seconds. I was like, just stretch it out. I like that song. That's what you get. We had this whole thing where I was like, all right, we're going to be called Sausage Party tonight, and you guys are only going to play songs from females. And you open with Everlong. Thanks, buddy. When I was 17, I saw the Foo Fighters at the Riviera, which is a relatively small club in Chicago, because they were like warming up for festivals, right? So very small show. It was awesome. They played for like 3 hours. And I met this really awesome girl. She was 20 and I was 17. I was like, ooh, what can happen? That's what I was trying to make happen, drummer. That did not happen. She lived in like a far suburb at the time in like a small apartment. I was like, that's pretty cool. That was not cool. I would drive out to like hang out with her for 3 hours and not touch. What the fuck? And I brought my guitar once and I knew like 3 songs and I knew she liked the Foo Fighters. Like, I'll learn Everlong because that shit is easy. So I would drive to her fucking house, which is an hour away, play Everlong, and she'd like swoon. And I'd be like, why am I here? I should go. And I did. And then she moved to Arizona and currently lives in a trailer park. So on that note, let's bring up our first guest of the evening. Thank you. Thank you. That was my moth storytelling moment of the evening. This guy does not live in a trailer park because I don't think DC has many. We'll find out all about that. He's the editor-in-chief of We Love DC. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Tom Bridge, everybody. Tom! Fantastic Sausage Party. Okay, Tom, how are you?
I am fantastic.
Good. That was the same word I used. What awesome. Is We Love DC?
We Love DC is a website about DC, as you might imagine. We write about stuff. Stuff primarily concerns of. We write about music. We write about drama. We write about booze.
Whoa! You write about drama. What does that
drama.
Mean?
Drama. We write about DC's fantastic drama scene.
Oh, I thought it would be like fighting.
Oh
like
no!
Teens.
We do write about that a little bit.
Or like Johnny Drama. Do you know who Johnny Drama
Johnny
is?
Johnny Drama from Entourage.
That's
sure.
right. I'm a big fan of Entourage.
Really?
No, I'm lying to you to your
I
face.
I figured you would.
What are your thoughts on Entourage?
Meh.
Really?
Meh.
That's fair enough. Why do you started We Love DC?
Started We Love DC with 9 of my friends.
Why?
So we were writing for another site at the time. We were writing for another network. We were writing for a network called Metroblogging.
Okay.
And frankly, management there was a little shaky. And they were
how
kinda,
so? Let's name
well,
names.
They were dicks. Let's just be honest.
Were you getting paid?
No.
Then they shouldn't be dicks.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of the whole idea. Yeah, and that's yeah. when we decided that, you know what, screw this nonsense. It's a blog. We could do it ourselves.
That's true. And you do it yourself now.
And we do it ourselves now. There's 20 of us, maybe?
That's a lot.
That's a fair amount.
Yeah. What do you like to write about the most?
Okay. So I'm, you know, much like yourself, I was a sports person, at least for a while.
Where are you from?
I'm from Northern California. I grew up in just outside of Sacramento.
So like a Kings fan?
Oh, not a basketball fan. Baseball.
What team did you have?
Oakland. The Oakland A's.
All right.
World champions.
Oh, Bash
1989.
Brothers?
Dude, Bash Brothers.
Yeah, that's the theme of the year. It's Bash Brothers 2012.
I love it.
Yeah, that's the theme
Dude,
of the year.
I had that poster up in my room.
I want to show you something on my phone, which will not translate in audio whatsoever. But this is a special moment that I think I need to share with you.
Oh, my. A special moment on a podcast.
Yeah. Those don't happen enough.
No. Awesome.
Is that the poster you had?
That is the poster
Damn,
I had.
Right, yeah. I'll describe it to the listener in your ears. It says the Bash Brothers underneath. It's kind of parodying the Blues Brothers, but they have yellow shirts instead of white shirts because they're hippies. And they have giant oversized bats, and it's just Jose Canseco awesomely on steroids and Mark McGwire just starting off on steroids.
Yeah, that's
it's
exactly
delightful.
Right. Delightful. Yeah, you know, if I... Projecting backward in time, I might not be an A's fan. But
why not?
I mean...
You don't like winners anymore?
It's not that I don't like winners. It's just that you can't cheat to win, man. That's just lame.
You mean win to win? Name one team in the past 10 years that has won the World Series that's been completely clean.
That sound you hear right now is crickets.
You're cute.
Aw.
You're safe, too. You could have said a lot of mean things. We're different people.
Well, fair enough. We'll get to the mean stuff.
Okay, so sports. You were interested in sports. Big
yeah.
Oakland A's fan.
Yep. I'm now a Nationals fan. Ever since, you know, Bill Simmons' rules of sports fandom allow you to switch teams mm-hmm. if a new team comes to your town. So since I'm pretty much not leaving D.C. except in a box, I figured, you know what, the Nationals are where it's at.
So. Do you think you're going to get murdered soon?
No, I just, you know, my wife and I bought a house a couple of years ago.
That's nice.
You know, we had such an awful experience that we're never leaving, so.
Wait, you had an awful experience, how so? Like moving?
Well, the bank nearly, you know, screwed our loan, and so 48 hours, I'd sold my condo in Arlington. We had to tell the movers where to come get our stuff. But we didn't know where to tell them to take it yet because the loan docs weren't done on our house. It wasn't looking good. Somebody screwed up some paperwork. And so we were like 48 hours out, and we were just like, we're homeless. This is awesome.
It's really fun to call yourself homeless when there are actual homeless people a block away.
You know,
I'm sorry. That was yeah.
That's cool.
Sorry.
That's cool.
Sorry. You're so white right now. You run a blog and I was homeless for 48 hours because my condo had just been sold.
Yeah, I'm kind of so white it hurts, frankly. I love baseball. I love football, porno, books about war.
Why
know.
Porno? No, because there's regional porn history in D.C.
Regional porn history in D.C.?
Yeah, Asylum, like one of the calling cards for Asylum, a bar not too far from
yeah.
here, is they filmed a porn in the basement.
Oh, no joke.
Yeah, that's true.
Oh, this has to go on the blog.
I think it was like 10 years ago. Guys, back me up on this. 10 years ago? You know anything about it, Ian? No?
That's a DC hardcore I've never heard of.
The one joke that was actually like delivered was not on mic. Good job, buddy.
That's
okay.
A shame.
Why porn, seriously? You said in order, baseball, football,
so,
porn.
In the 90s, there was this great Boston comic, Dennis Leary. That's from the Asshole song.
Okay, let's...
Football, porno, books about war.
Okay,
and
you fucked up by saying great comic Dennis Leary.
Oh, he's funny as shit, dude.
Nope, opposite. Dennis Leary's career can't sustain itself because he had fake anger about everything, and once you run out of topics.
No, I was going to say, for a while he was angry. He was pretty damn funny.
Yeah, it was a shtick that didn't work. It doesn't translate.
Yeah, it's still funny the first time you hear it.
I disagree. You can't. Once you become the voice of Chevy trucks, it's hard to relate to anger.
Okay, fair enough. I'll give you that.
But wait, why are you saying, oh, I'm giving him shit about Dennis Leary, someone that doesn't pay his bills? Why? No, thank you, Tom.
It's okay.
What are you drinking?
Bullet Rye.
I like Bullet Rye.
It's excellent.
The reason why I mention this is because I want your tips for good places to drink booze in D.C.
Okay, do you just want the booze or do you want good cocktails?
Do both.
Okay. If you just want good cocktails, there's only one place in D.C. to go, and that's the Passenger.
The Passenger.
The Passenger over on 9th Street across from the Convention Center.
What about the Gibson?
Like the Gibson just fine. Don't think it's worth the extra premium. Not to mention the fact that it's pretentious and you got to knock on the door and hope. I just want to go in, sit down, order a goddamn drink, and get drunk.
But when you say all that stuff, it's usually not followed by, fancy cocktail, please.
Well, fair enough. But, I mean, I kind of reached the point in my life where I'm just not going to want to, you know, grab the bottle of Johnny Walker Red and just start plowing.
Are you a Scotch fan?
Not anymore.
Ooh, fun.
I had one of those experiences in college. You never forget. I can't drink Scotch.
You drink Scotch in college?
Well, not intentionally.
Yeah, I had the exact same thing happen to me. Here's what I did. I bought it on an airplane. First time I flew overseas. Oh,
very nice.
I thought it was just like, ooh, this is cheap whiskey. It's $3 cheaper than the Jack Daniels that I know I like to put in my body.
Right.
So I bought this bottle of Johnny Walker Red, which was a dollar cheaper than black. Dummy. didn't realize it was Scotch. Mixed it with a half liter of flat Pepsi. Equal parts flat Pepsi and Scotch. Drank all of it.
Oh.
Walked around Amsterdam. Saw my old boss. He proceeded to buy me 6 more beers. Well, he walked up and down the red light district trying to find the girl that looked most like the girl that broke up with him in high school to fuck.
Ooh.
I got back to my friend's flat, vomited all over, which is fine, except in Europe, they don't like water in all of the parts of the toilet.
Yeah.
So it was great, because I flew out the next day and he had to, like, clean up everything. And it was one of these bathrooms where the shower is just the floor. Like, there's not a separate tub. So he had to shower in my puke for like a month. Best friend of this day is my best man at my wedding. Nice. Did that happen to you too? All of that?
Not exactly.
Back to D.C.
Back to D.C.
Not cocktail bar. Where do you like
not
to drink?
Not cocktail bar. If I just want to go and get a drink, you know, there are a couple of really great hole in the walls. I love the Post Pub.
I don't even know that. The Post Pub.
It's a couple blocks from the Washington Post. Uses the exact same script. Really great place to go and just, you know, go and drink.
What neighborhood is that in? I don't know where the Post is.
That's over, it's at like 15th in Vermont.
Okay.
Give or take.
Give me another place.
Another place to go drink. Gosh, there are just so many. It's hard to pick because it's just like, where am I near? That's always the hard part.
You're in Columbia Heights.
I'm in Columbia Heights. Well, then you get a taxi and go someplace else.
That's called not playing at the bar. You have no chance of getting a free shot now. That's how you fucked up.
Well, you know, it's funny because the last time I was at the Wonderland Ballroom was, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago. And
it's been that long.
It's been that long. I had an embarrassing night here.
What happened?
We had DCist versus MetBlogs trivia, and it was poorly wrangled.
How did it end?
It ended with the host of the trivia night, which at the time was one of the Met bloggers, like pulling a Mickey question that was clearly meant to throw the match to us. And we were just like, that's really lame. And I've been embarrassed ever since.
I don't think you understand the definition of embarrassment.
You seem
like a very nice guy that cares. That's your problem.
Fact.
Aw. See, you're nice. I don't want to give you shit.
Okay, keep giving it. I can give it back.
You haven't yet, sir. You're so nice. Dude, that's not embarrassing. That's not embarrassing in the least.
Well, wait, there are the other things that are
Did somebody fuck somebody's wife and or husband on accident?
No.
Did somebody die on accident?
No, thank God.
Did somebody pull a Chris Brown?
Well, not if I stole it, no.
Not embarrassing.
Fair
enough. I have very high thresholds of embarrassment.
I'm noticing.
I do this by choice. What does that say? Okay. What's the role of the blog scene in D.C.? There's actually quite a few, and
oh, yeah.
I seem to gravitate towards those more than print. I'm not sure. Like, ooh, what's in the Express today?
Right.
That's never been uttered before from my mouth.
I'm pretty sure that's never been uttered by anyone in D.C.
There you go. We're getting mean.
Well, I mean, the Express is what it is, but no one's really ever excited to see it. They're like, oh, my God, look at all these ads. This is awesome. I mean, it's places where the, you know, the Craigslist... shit, man, that put the newspapers out of business.
Well, obviously, but what is your role? Where do you see We Love DC in the blogosphere? Oh, that sounds like an awful question, but it's actually pertinent.
It's actually a pretty good question. Yeah. I mean, we're a medium ground. I mean, you know, I was going to say BYT is primarily culture-based. They do a really great job, especially with the hipster scene. We're not so hipster. We're a little more mainstream. But we're a comfortable medium between, you know, the more professional, polished, like, DCist crowd.
Okay.
Which is a little bit more, you know, let's say well-run than we are.
Okay.
Mostly because they're getting paid and we're not.
That's really kind of you. But let's drive traffic to your site.
Well, you know, We Love DC does a couple of things that none of the other blogs,
none of
the other city blogs do. We're the only blog that's really credentialed for any of the sports teams here in town. We're credentialed for the Nationals, the Wizards, and the Caps.
Cool.
We're one of six blogs in the entire United States that's credentialed for a Major League Baseball team.
Really?
Yeah.
There
are four
in
DC, and there's one in New York. The Nationals have taken a big risk. They figured, you know, they're seeing good results from the Caps and the Wizards, and they figured they'd take a shot at building their audience. That's what they really need to do. That's what you do as a new team.
Do you ever write those pieces?
I do. I'm one of the three people that sits in the box at the Nationals.
How is it fun? Is it weird? Is it sterile?
It's weird, but it's weird awesome.
How so?
Because, like, suddenly you're riding in the elevator with John frickin' Schmaltz, and he's coming up to the, you know, the top level press box on Strasburg's debut night. And so I'm asking him, so John, what do you think? Is Strasburg the real deal? And he's like, well, I just watched him throw it out of the pen, and he's the real deal. And you don't get that kind of opportunity so many places. It's pretty impressive. It's a little weird because, I mean, there's no cheering in the press box. And I know why that is. I think that makes all the sense in the world. But
For the listener at home, why is it like that?
Well, it's like that because you kind of want to keep a professional atmosphere up in the press box. These are dedicated journalists who have practiced a craft. And you know
what's
that's
funny?
Important, though.
You kind of imitated Ray Romano with that voice. And on the show Everybody Loves Raymond, he played a sports reporter covering the Mets.
That's fascinating, having never seen an episode of Everyone Loves Raymond.
It's not bad. Do you know Patricia Heaton?
I do.
Okay, let's talk about Patricia Heaton, everybody.
Okay.
Patricia Heaton, former star of Everybody Loves Raymond, current star of The Middle, which is an apt name for that show, is an avowed Republican. Fine, do her thing. But this is why it gets awesome. When Newt Gingrich was like, sluts, everyone was like, hell yeah. She was one of those people who were like, hell yeah, fucking sluts and shit. And she tweeted a bunch of stuff about it, and then, like, 2 hours later, she's like, oh, I actually heard it all. Sorry about that, and then deleted her Twitter account. So, yeah, it's awesome. Patricia Heaton is awesome. She's my favorite dummy right now.
Yeah, that's. I mean, it's not like the internet doesn't exist and know how to handle that shit.
Yeah.
I mean, come on now. There's dumb, and then there's really, really dumb.
Patricia Heaton dumb.
Fact. That is not a great show, by the way. Not a great show at all.
Wait, The Middle?
The Middle,
that's
not
why
a great
I said
show.
It was an apt name. Nah. Yeah, but the other guy's great. The guy that used to...
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
The janitor.
They even each other out.
The janitor.
The Middle.
Okay.
It was the janitor. I think
the janitor
that was his ex.
Scrubs.
That
was
awesome. That was
he was
his
in Major
name.
League. He was one of the construction workers in Major League. He was kept on saying, they're still shitty.
Has he ever had a job that wasn't portrayed as blue collar?
Let's go with no.
Fair enough. So you like covering sports?
Love covering sports.
That is definitely different than any other blog in the city.
Yeah.
What do you think the Nats' chances are this year?
I'd say they're pretty fair to middling. My guess is 87 or 88 wins and a shot at the wild card.
You think so?
Yep.
I just think that they're in the wrong division. That's the problem.
The NL East is tough this year.
It's tough every year.
It's tough every year. It's especially tough this year when you've got the Braves still tooled up. The Phillies, I mean, shit, man. The three best major league pitchers in any rotation.
You can't ever count the Mets out either.
No. Yes, you can.
Until, like, August. And by that point, you could usually count the Nats out.
Well, right. Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, the Braves are going to be solid. So it's going to be a fun year to watch baseball in D.C.
You're not even mentioning my favorite team out of that entire division. The Miami
the Marlins.
Marlins. Oh, my God. Do you get a plus one in the press booth?
I do not. Sorry.
Could I just go to one of the Marlins games?
You can buy a ticket.
No. I want to go for free to see the coke-fueled hazard that is the Miami Marlins. Ozzie Guillen, former
no joke, man.
Former White Sox coach,
so you're
a loud homophobe. It's great.
So you're a White Sox guy. You're not a Cubs guy.
I'm a Cubs guy and a White Sox guy.
What?
I grew
what?
Up in the middle. I grew up directly in the middle, and I
really.
Yeah.
They allow that? They didn't kick your ass for that?
Yeah. I love that, like, awful stereotype that you can't like both teams. Why? Because they both help the economy, dummy. No, they're just
saying,
different.
I'm just saying. Every person I know from Chicago picks one.
Yeah. So,
I'm just saying.
What is it, saying? What?
I'm just saying that's kind of dumb.
Why is that dumb?
I get to enjoy. Pick one.
No, I get to enjoy 300 plus baseball games a year.
You get to pick one team if your metropolitan area is so blessed with two teams. You get to pick one. That's
no, you
the
don't.
Rules.
No.
Yes.
Says who?
Says me.
Thank you.
Lies.
Whoever said falls. Here's why it's different.
Okay.
They're not in the same division. They're not in the same league.
Neither are any other city's double teams.
Exactly. Therefore, you should root for both teams because they both help the economy.
Every year,
this is my ideal world. Every year, it's Cubs-Sox World Series, and the Cubs win 6 and the Sox win 4. That's the ideal. Yeah, out of 10 years.
Yeah.
I'm more of a Cubs fan, but I root for the Sox every chance I get. And when it comes down to August or September, who's ever more in contention, that's the team I want to win if the Crosstown Classic happens to
Fair
be later
enough.
That year. Let's talk about more about Chicago sports, guy that runs We Love DC blog. I've lost the band completely.
Yeah, the band's asleep.
What is one thing everybody in DC needs to know about DC?
That it's not fucking built on a swamp.
I thought it was.
No, it's not. I mean, they dredged out the area by the mall, but the rest of this is not swampland. The only neighborhood that could really be considered even remotely swampland is the area that's now north, known as NoMa, or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. Yeah, back then it was Swampoodle Grounds. And, you know, there it was a little bit marshy, but primarily the land here is quite good and so, not built on a swamp.
So that's
that
the
shit.
Thing you want to know? Like, hey everyone, I run a culture blog. We're not in a swamp.
We're not in a fucking swamp, man. That's all I'm saying.
All
there
right.
are so many terrible myths about D.C., like the height limit. There's, you know, nothing could be taller than the House of the People. That's bullshit. It's an 1890 law that has to do with tall apartment buildings.
Tom, I would really want to do this again,
sure.
Sit down with you, and we'll do a long-form interview. But we have to end this one because we have a lot of show left.
Yes.
I need you to pick a number between 99 and 208.
137.
We are out of that. You get 135. This is from
okay.
the Book of Questions, Love and Sex by Gregory Stock, PhD. An awful, awful book. Tom, if you could have one night of sex with anyone in the world you desired, but only if you got a note of permission from your partner, would you ask for it?
Yeah.
Who would it be?
There's no question about it. It's Christina Hendricks.
Christina Hendricks.
From the Mad Men.
We know.
Yeah.
Would you?
Just saying.
Hey, good week for you then, huh?
Yeah. Kind of excited.
Yeah. For
good
the
show.
Listener at home, somebody hacked your phone.
Oh, is that what this is about? Because I'm excited for the premiere. I guess that's next weekend.
No. I'm talking about somebody hacked your phone, and there's like 6 photos of her that's like almost nude.
Huh.
And then here's the thing. And then there's a photo of just boobs, right? No face. I don't think it's her.
I'm going to trust your judgment on this one, man.
What do you think your wife would say?
Can I come?
Thank you, Tom. Where can people read you?
You can read us at www.welovedc.com.
You don't need to say that part. Why does everybody that runs a website say the www part? It's implied.
It may be implied. As a technical individual, I can tell you. As a matter of fact, it is implied. The cultural standard, however, is to say the www.
HTTP or HTTPS?
That was awesome. That was fucking awesome. Just to be clear,
we are cheap. No former, SSL for
a
us.
A former guest of the show said HTTP or HTTPS. That is the fucking correct answer. Thank you, Eric.
I'm giving you the thumbs up on that one.
Couldn't have been
well
better.
Played, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together for Tom Bridge, everybody.
Hey, thanks for listening to You, Me, Them, Everybody. It would be awfully kind of you to consider donating to keep this show alive. But we understand that money may be tight right now. So if you can't donate, please sign up on our mailing list. We promise it's not too annoying. Thanks for listening. And now back to the show.
Sausage party, everybody. Our next performer is a very, very funny lady. She came all the way from where The Wire, the documentary we all love, was filmed. That's so hack. I'm so sorry, Jen. I saw her last April, and she was okay.
And I saw her last month, and she was fucking great. And I'm excited for you to see her, too. Ladies and gentlemen, please put your hands together for Jen Tisdale, everybody. Jen!
Oh, my God. That's actually, that documentary joke is one of my jokes. So we're going to cut that from the old set today. Can I tell a Nirvana thing? Yeah. Is that the theme tonight? Suicide? Yeah. I think I was just going to kill myself on stage, if that's okay with you guys. Thank you for clapping that. This guy's like, do it. I'm behind you. You know what that means, brain splatter. So, I mean, I'm not a medical professional, but I've seen CSI, so I know where it's going to go. When Kurt Cobain killed himself, I was 14, and my thanks again, clapping that up for... It was just the right time for me. And my mom took the liberty of, because I was too bereft to do anything. She cut out all the articles of every magazine and paper. I made her wear all black for a week. We lit candles in the house like a bunch of refugees from happiness. And in my diary, which I wish I had today instead of a copy of the Holy Bible, which we're going to visit later. Although, frankly, it's the same thing. I write about it, and then I cried onto the page and circled it and labeled it my tears of sadness. So, I was a little angsty, you know, obviously riding the crest of one season of my so-called life. I just got back from New Orleans. I didn't go to Mardi Gras. That's for idiots. I think we can all agree with that, unless somebody here went, which you're an idiot, so. People are like, it's so great because you should just, you know, show us your tits. And I was like, no, come on. If I wanted to see some tits, I would just look down because I tiled my floor with back issues of Playboy, so. It's like shag carpet city there. Every day is boob day from January to December 1976. Playboy. The first thing that people say to me when they were like, you're going to go down there alone? And I was like, yeah, I own a cat. Was, don't get raped. And I had to like, first I had to like cross that off my itinerary. I was like, all right, don't. Thanks. And like, what am I going to do with Thursday? But I was like, come on, you guys, who doesn't like rape? Well, people who don't like surprises hate rape. But other than that, everybody likes rape. I know I have to use my thing. You know who probably really likes rape? I feel like Spider-Man's web would make a really good rape bed. You know, like if you got caught in that, you'd be like, oh no. And then if, you know, he would rape you. Like a good superhero would, you guys. This is the reality, okay? He's wearing tights. He's a grown man. He's going to rape you. So bad. I didn't give up drinking for Lent, clearly, as my table can attest to that. But thank you. I'm 32. But I did give up sweets. Because I love like cupcakes so much that I wish it was the only thing I could eat. So I gave it up, even though I'm not really religious. And I even went to church for Ash Wednesday because it felt weird to give up something for Lent and then not do that whole thing. But I fell asleep while I was there. And when I woke up, I was like, oh my God, my priest had drawn a dick on my forehead. I was like, hey, you... He was funny. You guys were like, Catholics aren't funny. I'm like, I know, I'm an Episcopalian. So today's the, we're just talking about all this death, but we didn't say anything about Biggie. We're gonna, is that your more proof of your racism, I guess? Is, today's the anniversary of his death, although obviously if you know anything about rap, you can just be like, he probably actually died today, because aren't they always still alive forever? And somebody was like, hey, Biggie forever. And then I wrote, apparently not. Yeah. He's, please, what I say is not going to change the fact that he's dead. Just like Kurt Cobain is still a pretty good guitarist, but a better marksman. This guy loves suicide. He, like, loves it way more than Kurt Cobain. And Kurt Cobain really loved suicide. A lot. I actually did lose a friend recently. Thank you. To pregnancy. Yeah. If you guys are looking for a lot of photos of a distended belly with veins running through it, I can tell you where to go. Yeah, I can tell you where to go. Although, I had this idea about, like, the pictures. You know when people get engaged and they do, like, those real super nice pictures of, like, you know, his hand and then her hand over top of it, and you're like, that ring didn't cost a lot. Wouldn't it be nice if, it, like, when you had to announce that you guys were going to have a baby, like, you just took a picture of her vagina with, like, his penis sort of draped over it? Right? That's where it starts. But then, it would be classy, you guys. It would be in black and white, because everything is classy. Everything's classy in black and white, except for the civil rights movement. That was not classy at all. I hate when people say to me when I'm speaking, they're like, you don't know the meaning of the word. And I just assume they mean the word of God, because the Bible's confusing as fuck. So I want to play a quick game. It's something I played in my youth when I wasn't crying. I brought a Bible with me today. I need some volunteers. Don't be lame. Don't be like, oh, I don't want to. Thank you. This guy right here. I love you. Yeah. Here's how you play this game. It's super fun. It's like, you can come on up because we're on a podcast and nobody can see you. So what happens is, it's like a magic eight ball, the Bible. I think we can all agree with that. And you've seen a magic eight ball. So you have, like, I can't use this because it's so small right now. And I'm not coordinated enough to make it bigger. Look at you, wizard. This guy's a wizard. So what you do is you ask a question. You can ask a question. I'm in control of the Bible because I'm God. And I'll flip through the Bible for you, and then I will place my finger on some scripture, and I will answer your question for you. Are you guys excited about that game? I am not religious. I'm spiritual, which, as we all know, is a cop-out, but I played this game a lot as a kid. Obviously, after the Magic 8-Ball wasn't giving me what I wanted. I was like, really? Four answers? That's fucking ridiculous. But look at all these answers. And if anyone here is really religious, please, I have the utmost respect for not you. Okay, so. Do you have, like, a question? And you can ask me, like, will my dick get bigger? I don't care what you ask. You can be funny. So do you have a question? You didn't think. Raise your hand. Well, what would you ask your magic 8-ball? Like, oh, am I going to get married or have children or become Chaz Bono? I don't know. Whatever you think is... That's a real question. On Monopoly.
What genre would you describe the band Bells?
Well...
Oh, Jesus Christ, Pat! This is
literally...
Question.
Here it goes. And sometimes you don't always get one right away, so don't fault me if I'm like, I'm going to pick two or three. I like to stick to actually one book. Okay, here we go. What genre would you something? Ready? No payment is ever enough. So they're a bunch of greedy fucking whores. Which means their music is awful if we're paying attention to the way music is. Really? I'm pretty sure God knows. I appreciate that, though. So they're greedy. That was a great question. They're greedy And they're sort of talented because the talented people don't make money because you guys are stealing their music online, right? Does anybody else want to ask a question or should we, Eric? As I mean, guy that I don't know in the camel. No, he wasn't planted, but I was worried that nobody would step up because it's like a weird thing. All right, is this, are you gonna, okay. You're a comic, so this should be good. Go ahead.
What is the best way to have genital warts removed?
Well, if anybody's gonna know that. Ready? They said in their hearts, we will crush them completely.
Yeah!
And I think that's my time. Thank you very much. You guys have been great.
Jed Tisdale, player to the seat, gentlemen. Wait, what song did you just play? Scream it out.
I started playing something different.
You realize you played Rape Me last week. She did a 2 minutes about rape, and that's the song you don't play.
It's not funny.
It is very funny. She you need a microphone.
Oh, is that?
Yeah.
I was going to play Polly, but I fucked up the tempo.
No, that'd be awful to play. I'm glad you didn't play Polly. Even the new wave version would have been inappropriate. That's on Incesticide. It came out in 92.
Play something from Bleach.
It's not from Bleach.
I said play something from Bleach.
What's your favorite song on Bleach?
I don't know Bleach at all.
I think mine is Swap Meet. It's kind of cute and romantic.
I actually downloaded Nirvana not too long ago, and when I was little, younger, and I didn't know anything, On a Plane was my favorite, and then I watched that. Who is the guy that does all the documentaries? And Nick Broom, is that it? He's terribly boring at it, and he's a terrible documentary, but he did one on Nirvana, and after I figured out what...
Are you talking about Kurt and Courtney?
Maybe, and it's like the British guy, and he's just so deadpan, and like, I don't know anything. And after that, I changed my favorite song completely. Doesn't matter.
I might cut that from the final
you
version
should.
Of the podcast.
That was terrible. Terrible.
I didn't talk about Biggie because I'm just not a big fan of celebrating obesity. When you could hear someone's tongue, they should lose weight. It was all a dream. Yep. Now, Puffy, dance around. That's the first and only 5 years of his career.
The like sound people are like, we have to edit out his breathing all the time.
Him.
You're like, him. Darth Vader was so good on that one album.
Audience participation is quite ballsy of you. Do you do that often? I've never seen you do that bit.
No, I was like freaking out because I was like, how are people going to take to the Bible? Which is, I think.
Yeah, it was so ballsy of you to skewer religion. What brave new ground you've broken.
Oh, you. Penis, vagina, period, abortion, female comics.
You just named your first album. You got a lot better over the last year. What happened? It's a compliment, honestly.
You know what? The show that you were referring to in which I was terrible.
We talked about this.
Yes, but we didn't talk about this. I had just argued with my boyfriend on the phone prior, and I'm such a pansy that those things affect me. Like, most people are like, just brush it off. And I'm like, I have a vagina. I cannot.
Female comics.
Female comics. Hashtag anyone who's tweeting all this right
www.
Now.
WWW.
And then another comic was there who I was very much... I can talk about Ben Kronberg. I don't know if you guys know who he is. I was very much... Yeah, he's got a beard.
That's just somebody that wanted to scream.
He's got a beard. I was very much enamored and just like dumbstruck. He's very talented, and I couldn't move past that. And then I was like,
"So you just like kind of clammed
so
up."
So I just clammed up my clam, and
it's called a softball question.
Bam! It's called a pun, y'all. And and then I just was awful and was like, "I need to get out of here." I get intimidated because I was a very hipstery. Not to, I'm sorry, I'm sure people hate that word, but that was
It was
very...
a hipstery crowd, but look at yourself. You fit that crowd really well.
I'm wearing tapered jeans. We discussed this.
You there. Also have a star tattoo behind your right ear.
I'm a communist.
By choice. When did you get that tattoo?
These are very old. These are like 10. I'm old. I told you I'm 32, so these are like my early 20s.
So do you regret them?
No, but I know that in 10 years I will when it's like, wow, you're in your 40s. That's fucked up.
It is.
I know. I gotta find somebody who's gonna be okay with wrinkled old tattoos, which is nobody.
Does that part of your neck get wrinkly?
I'm sure it will, knowing me. Gravity is every woman's enemy. I'm sure that it'll find a way to F that up, too.
Why did you censor yourself at that moment and no other moment?
I don't know.
So what?
I'm a lady, you guys. I'm a lady.
Do you find it kind of weird that the band really loved your suicide and rape talk more than anything else?
I think that I'm not going to ask them to walk me to my car later.
There you go. And this is coming from a woman that lives in Baltimore
this
by choice.
This is coming from somebody who's had sex with so many guys in bands. Like, you guys are like a buffet behind me. I'm like, hey, you guys have boy parts, right? Yeah, clap it up. There was a time when I would have been on that, and that time was like a week ago.
Why do you fuck band members?
Again, vagina, abortion, female comic, women.
No, this is a real question. Oh. Like, seriously, like, are you attracted to obviously dumb people? No offense, Gordon. He plays real instruments.
I don't know what it is. I think it's that idea that, depending on the band, everybody else has a vested interest in them, and then if I can be the person that garners their attention that night, then somehow that reflects upon... What?! I've been in therapy for a long time, and I know exactly why I do these things. And it's like, if I can get the attention from them away from all these other screaming hussies, then somehow that makes me more attractive or better than them.
What tier of band are you sleeping with?
Okay. It started out really bad, and I'll tell you guys real talk. When I was 19, I used to date a guy in the Bloodhound Gang. So there was that. Yeah.
Okay, stop it. Stop. This is not a fucking hate crime chant.
It's okay.
No.
It's okay. You don't think I knew that? You think I was aware? I wasn't
this
aware.
This is the heyday of Bloodhound Gang, too.
This was, yeah. There were, people are like, whoa, the Discovery
This is like,
jam.
We can afford all the coke we want.
And they did.
Yeah, they did.
There are stories that would curl your toes.
Name one.
Okay.
You're the best guest. Keep going.
One time on the bus, and might I say, and this is probably going to sound so like naive coming from me, but I was a girlfriend of this guy. So I was like...
What's his name? You got to tell us his name. What did he do in the band?
He was the least attractive person in the band. That was his job.
Yeah, once again, what did he...
It was the chubby guy. His band name was Lupus.
Wait, shut up, Pat! What was the name of the guy?
His band name was Lupus.
His band name was Lupus, so, okay, I'm going to wait.
He was
okay,
the guitar... Oh, God, it's going to get so awful soon.
We won't cut this, don't worry.
I know we won't. So one time on the bus, I watched another girl, try to fit a jar of mayonnaise up her ass. While...
Wait. Yeah. Plastic jar or glass jar?
What?
Plastic jar or glass jar?
It was glass.
Because
this was 2000.
This won't end well.
No. And that didn't work out. So instead, they switched to the dude who was doing it, which was not my boyfriend, of course. He was...
No, why of course?
Because he was my boyfriend.
Okay. You only need the classiest of the Bloodhound Gang.
That's right. Okay. Now, not until you see that picture. The guy switched to banging her from behind while eating a bowl of Cheerios out of the small of her back. At least he was healthy, but...
What kind of milk?
I'm sure it was beer at the time. I'm sure of it. It was like, so... Yeah, pulling that...
This is what kind of bums me out about this story.
Because you're looking at him?
I'm looking at their Wikipedia page. He's like the only guy that doesn't have his own Wikipedia page.
He's not in the band anymore. He's not in the band anymore. He sells real estate now. I hope he never hears this because he really is a nice guy and we still talk.
All right, keep going. I like these stories.
So now we actually did. The other guys are just people I slept with. I once slept with a guy who was playing with Mike Doty. Do you know who that is?
Soul Coffee?
From Soul Coffee.
Is this the El Oso period of
this
the tour?
This is post Mike Doty singular. But this is a good story because what happened was... This guy was really... I'm not going to say his name because we're still friends, too. Somehow I, collect these people and keep them.
You want to form a super group.
Yes. And I gave him my number while he was on stage. Now, he's playing the piano, and he reaches out with one hand, and the other one's still playing, and takes my number. Now, I'm at this show with my mother. Wait for it. I'm a little drunk. I had just gotten dumped by a guy from a band.
Lupus.
They're called the Dance Party. They're from D.C. Some guy in that band had just dumped me. And I was feeling kind of down. Play on words. And guy in this group comes out after the show. My mom's waiting with her friend. The guy's like, I just want to hang out there for a little while. My mom's like, all right, whatever. We're going to wait in the car. We're going to be eating snacks.
Wait.
This is my mother.
How old are you at the time?
God, when did Danny dump me? Google that. 27, 26, maybe 27.
Why are you going to shows
with my mom?
Why is she driving and eating snacks?
First, she doesn't drink, and I do. And also, she and I are going to see Gautier together at the 9:30 Club. So we really are, we're close. And so I go on the bus with this guy. We have sex. Now, normally I don't do that on the bus.
Just
I have
that
rules
guy, by the
for
way.
Myself. Yeah, that's okay. Him. And I'm stumbling off the bus, and I run right into Mike Doty. And I go, it's not what it looks like. I'm not a slut. But I, of course, was. And my mom is just waiting in the car, eating, like, trail mix the whole time. Yeah.
Keep going. I know there's so many more. Just give me one more.
There's one more good one. This is my a guy from Less Than Jake.
Oh. Yeah!
you can stop. It's cool.
No.
Keep.
I gotta tell you. Just,
tell
you
me.
Gotta hear this.
Tell me he had the really long dress.
It was Rob.
Yeah! Dreams have come true.
So, we had already known each other. I got on their bus. I don't remember how I knew him from California. I got on his bus.
It's a small
bus.
State. It's a very tight-knit community.
I got on his bus. I got super drunk in Baltimore. I woke up in New York.
This is so good.
We had sex the whole time. I got my period. And then he and I had to walk to a Kohl's together to get a new outfit because I had ruined mine. And I then got on a bus and hightailed it back to Baltimore with my shiny new clothes. Yeah. That's that. I think we could. This interview is.
So that's how you got funny.
That's how I got funny. Yeah, that's why I got funny. I will say that I once fooled around with a guy in a good band, but I'm afraid of saying it because he and I are really good friends. And he's got a girlfriend. And so they're called Band of Skulls.
Wow, that was easy. Some dude just screamed, say it, and you did it.
Yeah. Because
I think I know how all of this works with you.
Yeah, it's pretty much you just ask, and I get on your bus.
Apparently. Oh, God. Yeah. It's easy. Yeah, Gordon, you can't play. Don't worry, you're just playing. There's no interview. You're fine. Unless you have stories that could come close to this.
It's okay. This is like,
it's
I know
him,
you guys
right?
are like,
wait,
she's
this old. Is him, right?
Yeah, that's Roger.
I'm sorry I laughed in your face.
Oh, no. Please. Every time I look in the mirror, I laugh. Anyway, you guys. So that was when I was like slutty. I'm not that slutty anymore. Thanks for clapping.
All right. Stop it. Okay. Number one. Just so... I don't think you're a slut or whatever. I just think you have really awesome stories, and that's why you're funny.
Thank you.
And the fact that you live in Baltimore is a thing.
Yeah, it's a weird thing.
I'm not anti-Baltimore, and the only reason why you haven't been asked sooner is because I haven't seen you enough, and I'm so glad I got to see
I'm
you
so
the other
glad
month.
I came as well and then came as well three times over with terrible band boys. I never came.
If
so.
You... It sounds awful, and I don't want it to sound sexual, but you said everything I've ever wanted to hear.
You're welcome. I'm glad I could be somebody who's dysfunctional and made these terrible decisions all the time.
Trust me, we got way too many comics up here that are like, oh, I believe in God, I don't drink. It's like, why are you doing this? I know why you're doing this. Yeah.
All these demons are going to get worked out on this particular therapy right here.
I think we're going to be getting real good friends. Not sexually, because no offense.
What? It's fine. It's fine. Did you hear that? She's crying now.
Oh, man. Well, I think this question will be actually quite exciting.
I don't want to go out with that story. So can we ask?
Do you have a sixth sex story of fucking people we know?
No.
You covered less than Shake.
Yeah, well.
Bloodhound Gang. Anybody from MU330 in this mix?
No. Although there was a really funny evening of hanging out with Mark McGrath.
Perfect.
But whatever. Let's get to the question, because now it's like, I can't tell these stories on stage anymore.
Pick a number between 99 and 208.
108.
We actually have that one.
Oh.
All right.
Really? Look at your face.
I'm so happy. Do you think saying, I love you, to someone means more or less to you than it does to other people? What about having sex? What happened with Mark McGrath?
Can I see that? I think that I love you means more to other people. I've been a little too loosey-goosey with my I love yous. Although right now, the person I'm with, I do love very much.
Is he here?
And he's not here, no. He knows better than to come to something.
What about having sex?
Is that really there?
What about having sex?
You just added it. You just wrote it in there. What about having sex? What's the question? Do I think it means more to me than it means to others? I think that it does. I think it depends on the situation. If you've taken somebody home from a bar, then it probably doesn't mean much to either person.
What about a tour bus?
Here's the thing. I used to have a rule about that. That one night was the one night I broke that rule about sleeping with somebody on their tour bus.
I didn't set that rule, but I didn't think I needed to.
But I think that sex is, people think it's far more important than it actually is, and those people are usually religious in nature. Because here's what I think. If you weren't supposed to have sex outside of marriage, then you wouldn't get an erection until you were married, right? And yet, here we are, getting them all the time.
And final part of the question from the Book of Questions, Love and Sex by Gregory Stock, PhD. What happened with Mark McGrath?
Nothing. He's been with the same woman for a long time. It was just a weird night where I happened to get backstage and hang out with him, and it was a sad show at Rams Head where like 100 people showed up and a baseball player from like the Boston Red Sox.
What baseball player?
I don't remember. He was a big guy, though.
What happened? With
he was probably on steroids. Who knows? But it was just weird because like the DJ guy was hitting on me, and he had like all these bitches on him, and I was like, I'm not a bitch.
So like half the crowd was on him?
Half the crowd was on his tip. So that's. I do have a story where I went running once, and I went to a Rite Aid, and I was buying tampons, and Mark McGrath walked in, and I was like, "Really? Right now, Mark McGrath?" It was so bad, like, cause if not, we probably would have had sex, right?
I love you so much.
I love you more.
You're fucking coming back. Whenever you want. You have an open fucking door here.
Thanks.
You definitely lock the gates tonight. I appreciate this. God damn it, you were good.
Me too.
This is not a joke. Following this will be Gordon Withers playing some classical music.
I love classical music.
This is why I love my show. Thank you so much. Jen, people could find you where?
At Jen_Tisdale.
She's
sorry
great.
For that underscore.
Follow her on Twitter. Jen Tisdale, everybody!
You, Me, Them, Everybody wants to thank you for listening and also for subscribing to us on iTunes. We can always use the extra support, though, so why don't you say something nice about us on iTunes? Go ahead, give us a 5-star rating. This type of thing helps us out a lot and doesn't cost you a dime. Thanks again for listening, and now back to the show.
I want to thank each and every one of our guests. I had a great time. I hope you did too. I'm really excited to hear Gordon play. Give him your ears. Give him your eyes.
Let's do it.
Ladies and gentlemen, Gordon Withers.
All right, I'm gonna play my tattoo, my new tattoo. So. That was Bach from the 17th century, I think. 17th? Anyway, I have it tattooed, so I was looking at the, you know, the cheat sheet. But this is a more modern classical piece by Harold Melter from New York City. It's called Blush. It uses the trick of harmonics to mimic the blood rising to the face, as in a blush. So.
Thank you.
Thank you. That is probably the first time that piece has ever been performed in a bar. I'll do one more if there's time. This is an original. It's called Memories of the Future, and it's on my Bandcamp if you want to check it out.
Thank you. Thank you.
Gordon, that was beautiful. Thank you so much. You said it's on Bandcamp. GordonWithers.bandcamp.com. Our guests were amazing. You guys were so great. Thank you. Hopefully we'll see you here on the 30th or the Artisphere on the 31st. Thanks for coming, everybody, and have a wonderful night.
Follow us on Twitter at YMTE. Friend us on Facebook at facebook.com/youmethemeverybody. And for details on Monday and Tuesday nights at the Hungry Brain, go to youmethemeverybody.com.